may be seated. Good job, you guys. You sounded great. I'm going to have you all come in for backup singers on Night of Worship, okay?
All
right.
Amen.
All of you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That's right. Amen. Grace and peace to you all from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning. Welcome to, what do they call this? Small attendance Sunday.
Powerful.
That's what we're changing the name.
Amen.
No fluff today.
Amen.
And I need you all, this is an inside joke, okay? You'll get it in a little while, but if you don't get it already, I need you all to stay awake for this one, okay? It's a long sermon, all right? It's a long sermon. Pastor Rolf, I wasn't looking at you, but you raised your hand, so, all right? Amen. Let us pray. Father, we praise you, Lord. We thank you for this word and for every blessing that it brings us, Father God, and for the wisdom it gives us. And we just ask that your Holy Spirit be with us right now. Lead us, change us from the inside out, Lord, and just guide us in our lives, Father. We praise you for the reminder that the Great Commission is for each of us, Lord, and that unashamed and unafraid we should be out there spreading the gospel. And being wide awake in our faith, Lord, whether it's in church or out there in the world, Lord. So we praise you and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. So my sermon title is The Encouraging Words of Paul. I was going to call it Stay Awake in Church, but I decided to call it that instead. Okay. I'm trying to be nice here. So no fluff, right? No fluff. There was a young couple. They were very much in love, okay? They were getting married in the church. However, the bride was very nervous about the wedding, about the big occasion. And so the preacher, he chose one verse that he felt would be a great encouragement for them. Amen? And the verse was 1 John 4:18, which says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear."
Amen? Amen.
And that's 1 John 4:18. So the preacher thought he'd ask the best man to read it during the ceremony, amen, to give him some encouragement. But the preacher didn't know that the best man wasn't a regular churchgoer, amen, and he didn't know the difference between Gospel of John and the first letter of John, amen? So it was supposed to be the first letter of John, but during the service, the best man introduced the reading by saying that the preacher felt it was a good idea, a very good verse for the bride, and that he would say more about it later. Then he started to read John 4:18, amen, which says, "The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the and the man you have now is not your husband." Amen. Oops, right? Man, I don't think you guys are going to get it that good. Amen, all right. The preacher wanted to encourage the couple, but his attempt went very wrong. Amen? Amen. So know your scripture, right? Well, the preacher in today's text, amen, Paul, he's going to have some very encouraging words of his own to speak, okay? And they're going to be the right words, though, okay? They're going to be the right words. And as he continues on with his last mission, which after 2 years, we talked about in Ephesus, it would take him through Macedonia now, okay? Then towards Jerusalem and eventually to Rome in a way he didn't expect, amen? So our first verse today, we're in chapter 20 now, amen? First verse says, "When the uproar had ended, Paul sent for the disciples, and after encouraging them, he said goodbye and set out for Macedonia." So remember the uproar from last week's text, amen? Which seemed like a long time ago because we had Christmas Eve service too, right? But from last week's text, remember there was a riot in the theater, right? We showed you a picture of the theater, said it held 25,000 people, remember that? And it would consume, this riot would consume the community, right? It had to be most of the community in this place, right? And for a short time though, but God was going to show his mercy and he was going to protect the disciples by using an unbeliever, remember that, to quiet down the riot, and the rioters. So everything had calmed down, and Paul was ready to continue on, okay? To continue on, but he needed to see his disciples so he could leave them with some encouraging words. which is something he tried to do every time he left a city. Amen. Leave them with encouraging words to stay strong in their faith and in the church. So he loved these people. He'd been living with them for 2 years, and they'd begun to build this great church. Amen. And not just in this town, but in the whole region of Asia. Amen. He was helping them to build the church, right? But now it's time for him to continue on his task towards the Great Commission. So he's getting ready to leave. And verse 2 says, he traveled through that area, speaking many words of encouragement to the people, and finally arrived in Greece, where he stayed for 3 months. And it continues on to say, and because some Jews had plotted against him, just as he was about to sail for Syria, he decided to go back through Macedonia. And I'm going to show you guys on the map the route he took. He was accompanied by Sopater, son of Pyrrhus, from Berea, and Aristarchus and Secundus from Thessalonica, Gaius from Derbe, Timothy also, Tychicus and Trophimus from the province of Asia. These men went on ahead and waited for us at Troas. Thank you. Thank you very much. Amen. All right. I'm not going to do that again, but no. So here we see Paul's leaving Ephesus. Amen. He's going north to, I'm going to show you in a minute, to Macedonia. He's encouraging, there it is, encouraging many people. Okay, so he's leaving over here. Okay. He was right here, and now he's going to turn, and instead of sailing, like we're going to talk about in a minute, he's going to turn back up here towards Macedonia, okay? So, encouraging many people along the way, amen? Paul spent a lot of time working with all the churches of the way. Remember, they're still called the way at this time, amen? In that region. So, he spent a lot of time, and he's going to go back through Philippi. He's going to go back through Thessalonica, and he's going to go back through Berea, okay? These were all churches in Macedonia up here. See, they're all right here, amen? And so he was going to go encourage them all once again as he headed back on land, okay? And this shows the passionate pastor's heart of Paul, okay? This shows his heart. And yes, he was a missionary. He had a heart to start churches, right? He was starting a lot of churches. He was spreading the gospel. He was a missionary, right? But he also had a big heart for those that had already made a commitment to Christ. He was a pastor. Amen? He was a great pastor. And so Paul could take them to that next level. All right? Paul was that next level kind of pastor. Amen? He was going to take them to the next level. But Paul knew they had to be led deeper into their faith. And he knew he was going to be leaving as well. So he wanted to do all he could to build their faith. Amen? So a big part of Paul's heart was to continue to minister to these churches as long as he possibly could. And that's what he was going to do. Amen? But in verse 3 it says, Paul had stayed in Greece for 3 months. Okay? Then he planned to take a direct but long journey by sea to Syria. So he's over here, okay? And he was going to take a boat all the way straight here to Syria, back to Jerusalem. Amen? But instead, there was some plotting from some anti-Christian Jews that were in the area, and it would force him to take another route. And some say that the Lord had spoke to him and told him, don't do it. It's a bad idea. Amen? And he would choose to go back along the same route he had taken to get there. So Paul was going to head back up north, okay? So he came in this way. He's going to go back up this way, okay? He would head back up north on almost the same exact route he had taken south. But he was going to be accompanied by all these companions, those names we just struggled through, right? Paul liked having company on his missions, right? He didn't like going on his own. He could do it, and he would do it, but he'd rather have people with him. He liked going as a group, amen? So he liked as much company as he could get. And they were going to go through Macedonia. Now remember all those hard names we just read, that you don't have to memorize, amen, okay? They were going to be with them, amen? You do, though, and so do you. But it would be nice to know those names when we get to heaven, amen, and when we see them guys and say, hey, Sopater, I remember you, right? Or, amen? And then, okay, so speaking of names, we got Aristarchus and Secundus. Okay, let's talk about those names for a minute. They were very meaningful to that time period, okay? And today's plot, if you will. Because they both came from the church in Thessalonica, it says, okay? So they both came from the same church, same area. It was a great church, and Paul would even write two letters to them. We know that, right? First and Second Thessalonians, right? But what's interesting about those names is that Aristarchus is a name associated with nobility. Amen? That's where we get the name aristocrat, okay? So it's a name associated with nobility. And this would have been a man like from a ruling class, right? Like maybe, you know, sort of like a prince or something like that. Amen? So Aristarchus, that was the kind of name he would have had as a ruler, okay? And or from the ruling class. So this man would have been some kind of great leader. But his traveling buddy from Thessalonica, amen, his name was Secundus, okay? Kind of sounds like second, right? Like a Latin name for second. And that's exactly what it is, okay? And the fact is that it was a very common name for a slave in the Roman, back then for the Romans, amen? So they to demean the slaves, instead of names, they would call them by number, right? So the number one would be, for them, in their language, number one would be Primus. Primus was number one. Secundus was number two. Amen? So this man was most likely a slave, and he would be called Secundus, okay? And so now you know where the band Primus got their name too, okay? Number one, okay? Number one. No, I'm just kidding. You don't want to know the story about that. But anyways, here we have two very different. The point is, we got two very different traveling friends, okay? One's a slave by his name. We think one's a slave, and one's a nobleman. Amen? So these were names that would portray them as that. But the point is that this kind of fellowship not only blew the minds of the Romans, but it offended them. Amen? The Romans didn't associate with slaves, right? They wouldn't go to church with slaves, okay? So they couldn't accept the fact that people from all different stages and all levels of society could get together as the body of Christ. Amen? They couldn't get that through their heads. So that each and every one of them could lay their lives at the foot of the cross. Amen? That wasn't something that was normal in their society, okay? There was a lot of prejudice going on in Rome at the time. So Rome could not accept the fact that slaves were actually attending services with their masters. Amen? That's what God can do, right? That's how God can change you. Amen?
Hallelujah.
And they would be sitting next to each other in church, right? Amen? So it was unheard of and unacceptable in their culture. But Paul was going to preach that in Jesus Christ, we're all created equal.
Hallelujah.
Amen? We're all created equal, one body, one people. Amen? And from the greatest of us to the least of us, right? What did Jesus say? Matthew 19:30 said, but many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first.
Amen?
Amen? That means we're all equal in God's eyes.
Hallelujah.
Amen? Christ had come, and at least for his church, he had erased all those prior distinctions. Amen? Everybody was equal in God's eyes. God would be saying that we're all one together in the body of Christ. And for us today, you know, if you enter a church and you don't feel like you're part of the family, or maybe you don't even feel like you're part of the community of Christ, amen, then maybe you're just not around the right people, right? Maybe you're just not around the right people, or maybe you need to give the church a couple more Sundays to kind of warm up to you, maybe, I don't know, right? Give it some time, right? Grow in your relationship, right? Give it some time. But you should never feel that way in a Christ-centered church. Amen. If you're in a Christ-centered church, you should feel at home.
Amen.
Amen. You should feel at home. A lot of people have given up on church because they can never really feel like they're a part of the body or they're a part of the community, right? They give up on it. But it's for all of us, right? We're all created equal in God's eyes. Amen. So if you do believe that, or if you start to believe that, we'll tell you the devil's a liar. Amen.
Amen.
The devil is a liar. As God's creation and a believer in Christ, we've been grafted into the family, right? We've been grafted into the family, and no one can take that away from you but you.
Amen?
Amen. Nobody but you can take that away from you. And so the church is called to love all people to Christ. Amen? We love all people to Christ, and I hope you guys feel that way every time you come here to Amazing Grace. Amen?
Amen.
because we do love each and every one of you. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So if there's a voice in your ear, okay, going forward, telling you you don't belong here, don't believe it. The devil's a liar. We all belong here in God's house. Amen? Oh, there's a picture. That was Christmas Eve. Amen? So that's diversity right there. Amen? Yeah. So if Aristarchus and Secundus could hang out together with Paul and Timothy, then we can all hang out together too. Amen? You guys are welcome in God's house as well. And we love you. So verse 6 says, But we sailed from Philippi after the festival of unleavened bread, and 5 days later joined the others at Troas, where we stayed 7 days. So they went up north to Greece. Go to the next map again. They went up north to Greece. Okay, they're going up this way. From Greece, I'm sorry. The Greece is down here. They went up north. Okay, then to Philippi. Can you see Philippi up there? Right there. There it is. Okay. I need some new glasses, by the way. And from there, they sailed across the water, okay, to Troas. So he did get on a boat, just not this one, okay? Into the province of Asia Minor, where they joined the rest of them. Now, we notice here that our author, Luke, once again switched to the first person. You see that? He said, we sailed, right? Go back to the scripture, backwards one. But we sailed, see that, from Philippi. And then down here he says, where we stayed for 7 days. Amen?
Amen.
So he's back to the first person. And so Luke's back with Paul. That's what that means. Amen? Remember, Paul had left him in Philippi back in chapter 16 to take care of the church, right? To lead the church, to grow the church, and to make them strong. So I guess Luke had completed his task. He's ready to go back with Paul. Paul's coming through there. And Luke's going to join him. So now he's saying we again. Okay, so remember that. Hold on to that, okay? You guys know Martin Luther, right? Not Martin Luther King, but Martin Luther. Amen? You guys know what I'm talking about? Okay. Martin Luther once dreamed that the devil was listening to reports from his agents or his demons. Amen? And he was listening to the progress they were making against the kingdom of God. Okay? So one of them reported to Satan, he said, a company of Christians were crossing the desert, and I loosened the lions on them, and all were lost. And the devil replied, well, what good is that? Their bodies were lost, but their souls were saved. Amen. What good was that? He said, I want their souls. And then another little devil reported that he saw a company of Christians that were crossing the sea by a ship. And he said, I sent strong winds and caused the ship to go on the rocks, and all were lost. Satan again said, that was nothing, because their bodies were lost. I want their souls.
Amen.
He said, I want their souls. And a third agent gave his report. He said, after years of trying, I finally managed to put the church to sleep. And after hearing this, hell and Satan rejoiced. Amen? Wake up, church. Amen? We have to wake up. God's word is all powerful, and it will change our lives, but we have to be eager to listen.
Hallelujah.
Right? We have to be hungry for His word. Coming to church shouldn't be a chore. It should be a privilege and an honor to be here in the house of God.
Amen?
Amen? We should be looking forward to it. Don't make excuses. Make time.
Amen.
Right? Make time. Be hungry for God's word, and you'll stay awake for God's word.
Amen.
I promise. Amen?
Amen?
You will. Unlike our friend, Pastor, Eutychus, who's going to be having trouble staying awake for Paul's all-night sermon, okay? We should be wide awake for our modern-day short services, okay? Because that's what they are today, amen? And by the way, that's why most pastors try to keep their sermons to about 30 minutes, okay? At least an hour, no more than an hour, okay? In Africa, I think they preach for like 20 hours straight after they walk 12 hours to get there, amen? So it's like a two-day deal, right? But I digress. We move on, okay? Stay awake. They arrived in Troas, okay? Verse 7 says, on the first day of the week, we came together to break bread. Remember that. Paul spoke to the people, and because he intended to leave the next day, he kept on talking until midnight. And there were many lamps in the upstairs room where we were meeting. All right? And you wonder why they mentioned the lamps. Well, we're going to let you know here in a minute. Notice how it says, on the first day of the week, they came together to break bread. Okay, what's the first day of the week?
Sunday,
that's right. This is the first indication of the first Christians gathering together on the first day of the week for fellowship, on Sunday. Amen? Gathering on Sunday. Now, you're going to hear arguments from people that the Bible says that the sixth day, or Saturday, or the Sabbath, is to be made holy, and the church should be on that day, on Saturday. Amen? People are going to tell you that. Some people are going to tell you that. Some people go to church on Saturdays. Then why do Christians, for the most part, have church on Sundays, right? I'm going to answer that question for you. We're going to talk about it right now. Number one reason that we went from the Jewish Sabbath on Saturday to Christian worship on Sunday, first of all, is because Christ came.
Yes.
Amen? That's the first reason. Every day since Christ came is to be holy unto the Lord.
Amen?
Amen. Monday through Sunday.
Amen.
Or Sunday through Monday, however you want to look at it. Amen? Or Sunday through Saturday. Paul will later say in one of his letters that every day is alike.
Amen.
Every day is alike. We should be glorifying, worshiping God every day of the week. Amen? Now, we should have something going on at church every day of the week too, but Pastor needs a rest once in a while, and he needs some help. Amen? He needs some help too. So, and we need to take time to study as well. But the point is, we have the freedom through the new covenant to worship the Lord any day of the week that we want to.
Right,
amen. Amen? There's no given day that we need to be here. We need to try to be here as often as we can.
Right.
Amen? And so if someone wants to have church on Saturday, God bless them. Amen?
Amen?
God bless them. I got friends, close friends, that go to church on Saturday, and then they go to church on Sunday too. That's fine. Amen? If that's what you want. I mean, if you're going to go to church every day of the week, that's fine too.
Amen?
Amen? We're in the new covenant. Amen? Every day is unto the Lord. That's right. But the early Christians had saw something special in the first day of the week, or Sunday, if you will. And what would that be? What do you guys think is so special about Sunday? Christ rose from the dead. Amen? Resurrection Sunday, right? Resurrection Sunday. Oh, did you put that up there too early for me? There it is. Okay. The second reason the early church rose that day was so they didn't have to skip synagogue on Saturdays. Amen? You know I'm all about that, right, Kim? So they didn't have to skip synagogue on Saturdays. Amen? They would go to synagogue on Saturdays to respect them. Amen? And then they would go to Christ. They would have Christ Church on Sundays in their homes or wherever they decided to have it. And some people still do that. The early church leaders would join the Jews on Saturday and in the synagogue and then hold their own church on Sunday. And they would all get along. Can't we all just get along, right?
Yeah.
Can't we all just get along? They wanted to truly call their day the Lord's Day. And that's what we call it. Amen. Sunday is the Lord's Day, right? The day that he was resurrected and that we would set that day apart, even from the Sabbath. Amen. As the Lord's Day, right? So, there's no denying that the culture, for the most part, celebrated church on Sundays. But notice it also says that they broke bread, right? They broke bread. Now, it doesn't say they broke bread every time they gathered, but we know they did it often. Amen? They did it often as they gathered, if they wished. There was no limit then, and there's no limit now. Amen? We even have communion on Wednesdays for Bible study. It's every Wednesday at 5 p.m., by the way. You guys are all welcome to join us. But we do communion every Wednesday as well. Amen? And then it says that Paul would speak or preach until midnight.
Hallelujah.
Right? Until midnight. And you thought some of my sermons were long, right? Right? Today is kind of long. But at least I'm not the only one that people are falling asleep on. Okay? That's how a lot of pastors look at this and say, well, he fell asleep on Paul. Well, yeah, he preached all night long, right? Amen? So, Paul's about to experience that for himself. John Selden wrote, he said, about sleeping in church, he said, the mind cannot contain what the seat cannot endure. Right? Keep your sermons under an hour, please, right? No matter how great the message is, there's a limit to how much people can take. Amen? There is a limit. And I'm sure Paul's message was pretty good too. So Paul had preached until midnight. And I think in a way, he would not be back again through this region for a while. God had kind of revealed that to him. Amen? So he was going to go on and give them a message of encouragement as long as he could before he left. Amen? God had spoken to his heart, right? God had spoken to his heart, and he knew of the danger and the persecution that was going to await him in Jerusalem. He knew. He didn't know exactly what, but he knew something was coming, and that this would eventually lead to his martyrdom. So he'd be preaching to these cities as if it was his last time there, right? That's why he's preaching so long, amen? He's like, this is the last time. I'm going to get it all in. I'm going to give them everything I can, right? So they're holding church on Sundays, right? They're breaking bread often, and they're hungry for God's word, amen? It sounds just like today's church. It should, amen? Just like today's church. And so we gather on the same day, we break bread, and we're hungry for God's word, amen?
Amen.
And so this was a perfect model. God's word hasn't changed, right? God's word hasn't changed, and praise God, his people haven't changed much either, right?
Hallelujah.
His people haven't changed. So let's put Jesus first. Let's carry on this eternal tradition of worship in our Savior, amen? And another similarity we see here in verse 9 is that sometimes people fall asleep in church. Amen. Verse 9 says, seated in a window was a young man named Eutychus. How do you say it, Pastor Rolf? Say it again.
Eutychus.
He says Eutychus. There we go. Who was sinking into a deep sleep as Paul talked on and on. When he was sound asleep, he fell to the ground from the third story and was picked up dead. Wow, right? Somebody pick up Pastor Rolf back there. So why did Eutychus fall asleep, right? Well, I guess the message was too long, right? He preached until midnight. Who knows what time he started, but I'm sure that was a long, long message. Amen? But some people still do it today, right? Some people still preach for a long time today. Examples, different countries, different places, some churches here. We can kind of understand in this case, though, because of a combination of a few things, right? First, it was a late hour, okay? We said he was preaching till midnight, right? We also got to remember that it was a work day. For them, it was a work day. Amen? Sunday was a work day. And so they were tired. Maybe the heat, maybe even the fumes from the oil lamps. Why they mentioned the lamps, right? Maybe the fumes from the oil lamps. All these things that could have made this young man fall asleep. And it was also kind of a distraction for Paul as well, amen, that this man had fallen out of the window and died, amen? And, you know, it's always distracting for someone to fall out of their seat in church, right? But we also see that it says he was sinking into a deep sleep, okay? He was sinking. So it was a gradual sleep, right? He was good during the first 5 or 10 minutes. Then he started nodding out, right? Right? We've all experienced that, right? A gradual sleep. He was struggling to stay awake. But this was a long sermon. Amen? We're talking hours and hours, okay? And I'm sure many of you have experienced this struggle as well. I know I have, okay? It can be difficult for us as humans to sit and listen to someone talk for a long time, okay? It really can. So, especially if we're fatigued, if we're tired, right? It happens a lot in evening services because people come at from work, right? Whether it's Celebrate Recovery or Bible study or even church. Amen?
Amen?
So, at least they're there, right? At least the people are there trying to receive a message and a blessing,
amen,
right? So we give them credit for that, right? At least the people are coming to church and trying to do what they can do. And believe me, I know it's partly my job to keep you awake as well, okay? So a big part of my sermon preparation is to create a message that's going to keep you thinking, that's going to keep you intrigued, maybe make you laugh once in a while, amen, but still get the message across, amen? I don't want to say entertaining, but I want to make sure I keep you guys awake as well. Amen. So let's do this together. Amen. And God will bring the increase, right? We just listen to God's word and he'll bring the increase. Sleeping in church is not good for any of us. And you never know when you might get caught. Wake up, right? Right? You never know, man. John Wesley was a preacher back in the 1800s. He was once preaching a sermon, and there was a man sitting in the front row, okay? And we'll say his name was Joseph, okay? And he was completely knocked out, all right? He had his head back, and he was snoring, all right? And you know what John Wesley did? He went right up to him, and he yelled out, "Fire, fire, fire!" And the man woke up, and he was shaking his head, and he said, "Where's the fire? Where's the fire?" Right? And John Wesley told him, "The fire's in hell for those who sleep during the preaching of God's word." I didn't say it. John Wesley said it. They were pretty rough back then. Amen. But they talk about no fluff, right? Talk about no fluff. But the point is, sleeping in church isn't good. Amen. Sleeping in church isn't good, but sleeping through your life of faith is even worse.
Hallelujah.
Amen. You may fall asleep in church once in a while, but don't fall asleep out there.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Stay strong in your faith. Don't fall asleep. The devil's waiting around, prowling around, waiting for us. Amen. Matthew 26, verses 40 and 41 says, "Then he returned to his disciples, and he found them sleeping," talking about Jesus, amen. "Couldn't you men keep watch for me for 1 hour?" he asked Peter. "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Amen? The flesh is weak. To fall asleep in church is one thing, but to fall asleep on your faith is something totally different. Much worse, amen? Much worse. Jesus was saying, we got to stay strong in the spirit. Regardless of how weak our flesh is, how tired we are, we have to stay strong in the spirit.
Amen.
It's a spiritual battle,
yes.
Right?
Amen.
It's a spiritual battle. We have to keep watch if we want to win.
Amen.
Right? Keep watch. Keep watch. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. Okay, we're going to read that right now. Says, "So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ."
Amen.
He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. You know, when we're sleeping, we're ignorant of the great deceiver. Amen. Whether we're really sleeping or sleeping on our faith, amen. We're no longer learning either. These are characteristics of those that are in the world. We talk about those that are in Christ and those that are in the world. Amen? It shouldn't be the way for those that are in Christ. We should be wide awake in our faith. We should be awake and hungry for God's word. Amen?
Amen.
That's power. There's power in God's word. It's a dangerous thing for us as believers to be asleep at the wheel of faith.
Amen.
Right? Don't be asleep at the wheel of faith in a world full of sin, where the devil's just waiting for us to slip up. Amen?
Yeah.
Waiting for us. So be vigilant. Be awake. Be ready to defend your faith. You know, you may be awake for this sermon today. I hope you are. But you better be sure you're awake when you leave this service.
Hallelujah.
Amen? When you leave this service, when you go out there and face the world with every evil that's going to come your way, be awake in your faith.
Right?
Be awake in your faith. So this young man fell asleep on Paul. And he fell three stories to his death. Amen? And verse 10 says that Paul stopped preaching for a minute. He went down, he threw himself on the young man, put his arms around him, and said to everyone, "Don't be alarmed, he's alive."
Amen.
Don't be alarmed, he's alive. Then he went upstairs again and broke bread and ate. And after he was talking till daylight, he left. So he's preaching till daylight now. He kept going. Amen. The people took the young man home, it says, alive, and were greatly comforted.
Amen.
This was a miracle, right?
Hallelujah.
It was a miracle. Whether he was really dead or not, some say he might not have been dead. But regardless, it was a miracle of God.
Amen.
Amen. And God had done something amazing that night through this disciple, through Paul. Amen. This apostle. And what does Paul do after the miracle? It says he went back upstairs and he preached till daylight.
Amen.
He wasn't done yet. Amen. He wasn't done yet. He preached so long that somebody fell out of a window and died. Right? Then by the Spirit of God, he's revived. And then he decides, well, I might as well go and finish my all-night message of encouragement. That was Paul's dedication.
Amen.
Amen. Paul was going to do God's will in every town he visited, regardless of the circumstances. Even if somebody died and came back to life, he was going to continue to do his great commission. Amen. Because Paul knew his main mission was to speak encouraging words to all those that would listen. It should be every preacher's encouragement. Amen?
Amen. Hallelujah.
And so, the Great Commission, right? The Great Commission is for each of us, right? Paul was a great model of it, but we should all be out there spreading the gospel. Amen? Let us all do the same. In every town you visit and every place you go, spread the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen?
Amen. Tell others of what you've learned about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And do it unashamed, right? And unafraid.
Amen.
Unashamed and unafraid, because the Lord's coming soon. Amen?
Amen.
And it could be today.
Amen.
Maranatha. Amen?
Amen,
amen. Let us pray. Lord, I pray that these words of Paul in your Holy Bible today, Lord, encourage us and give us strength each and every day. May you give us and our spiritual leaders the wisdom and the courage to spread the gospel, to spread the message and worship you, not just on Sundays, but every day of the week, Lord. I pray that you strengthen the hearts of those who are struggling with their faith, struggling with being a part of the body of Christ, struggling with being a part of the community of the church. Lord, give them hope. Speak to them in dreams and visions in any way you see, you deem fit, Lord. Give us the hope we need to be the body of Christ you want us to be. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.